think we're right on time, so we'll get started. Welcome, everyone. This session is on Fast Track for Office 365, our deployment approach for Office 365. My name is Alistair Spears. I'm a Senior Operations PM in the Office 365 deployment team.
And I'm Jeff Medford, and I'm a Technical Product Manager in the same team with Alistair and focusing on deployment. I think they're turning it up.
So, yeah, okay. We'll make it louder. We'll project our voices.
That's right.
So, who was at our pre-day yesterday? Anyone in the room?
Good.
Great. All new content. No surprises. So, what we want to do in this session is really take you through how we approach deployment for Office 365. You know, Office 365 is a very different thing to deploy to than, say, an on-premises release. An on-premises release, you deploy, you patch, you manage. It's really up to you to do all of that. You know, Office 365 is a cloud service. We manage that cloud service for you, and so we're actually intimately involved in your deployment as well for the first time. So this is a very different relationship that you have with Microsoft from a traditional software vendor to a cloud service provider. Now, show of hands, who's already using Office 365? Okay, great. Who's thinking about it? Everyone else? Yeah. Anyone an Office 365 partner in the room? You work with other customers? Okay, great. Excellent. Let's get started.
Perfect. Yeah, let's get started. So again, I'm Jeff, and I'm going to go through kind of the orange-red box here called Getting Started, and we'll do demos and walk through. And if you don't have a small piece of paper, you can get one at the end. It has a login. Everything that we show here has been provisioned into tenants for you. So each of you have your own tenant. It goes for 90 days. It has a super weird tech ed name, so we know you won't continue it after that. But what I wanted to do is just make sure that everyone who came in the door, everything we show, you can just simply log into Office 365, see everything that we work through. So all those little pieces of paper are a tenant that's been built and created utilizing the fast track methodology, positioning content, provisioning content into that tenant. So at your leisure, you can probably go into, especially if you're an Office 365 customer now, go into In Private on your browser and then log in with those credentials that I gave you, and you'll see everything that we go through. And as Alistair mentioned, you know, deployment means something a little bit different from a cloud perspective. One of the focus points from the Office 365 team is that onboarding, deployment, getting started, these should be easy things. And I know that's a very big term when we think of easy, because a lot of you out there probably have server farms and infrastructure and identity to go through. But when we start at the very baseline, we want it to be simple. We want you to sign up, sign in, and be able to get started. We'll get to some of that in-depth, hard, difficult things a little later. But the whole part of getting started is that the service is available to you now. It's waiting for you. You don't have to do anything to start using the service. You simply log in. You can sign up for your own tenant. And it's there, waiting, ready, configured, and moving forward. You can start doing mail. You can start working with SharePoint. And that's really the getting started trial scenario, is that we want all of our customers to start thinking about what Office 365 can do for them. And when you see kind of the continuum of getting started, deployment, all the way to adoption, you see a couple other sessions that are going on here today about adoption and trying to drive active use. We see this as just a very natural flow for our customers to try something, to plan what is your environment going to do, what are you going to need to do, what are some of the questions you'll probably have to ask yourself while moving to Office 365. So we want you to try, we want you to plan, and then that deployment side, that middle layer there, infrastructure, provisioning, we want to give you as much support as possible throughout that experience. So we'll talk about some of those concepts like onboarding and what that really means from our perspective. So this is the model we'll kind of flow through in the session. This is what we call Fast Track. It is a, you know, it could have been named anything. It could have had any kind of nomenclature, but we call it Fast Track just to try to say this is a different way of thinking about deployment. And we had to put a name to it because we kept talking to customers about this new way to deploy, and everyone said, well, I don't know why this is new, and I don't know how this is new. So we're going to show you why it's new, we're going to show you how, and really this is born of the last 6-7 years, Microsoft has been having this new relationship with our customers. We are managing a service, we are deploying to a service, and we are supporting our customers directly or through partners or through our own services, but it is a new relationship, and we really want our customers moving forward on our services, utilizing our services, and gaining value very quickly. So when you think of what Fast Track is, and there's kind of 3 main bullet points on the slide, quick and predictable start, we have seen every customer. We've seen every customer who comes through. We've seen every AD that has existed. We've seen farms and multi-forests and things that are completely broken. And so what we're trying to help our customers do is take a step back, start quickly. It's predictable, kind of step-by-step process. And then personalized assistance for onboarding. Microsoft Engineering, taking direct accountability with our customers to get you onboarded. And that's an engineer on the phone, proactive, working through scenarios with you to get you onboarded to the service. It comes from the Microsoft engineering team. It's not a support function. It is engineering, and it's proactive. And that's every single customer that purchases Office 365, starting on September 1st, above 150 seats, receives an engineer who is accountable to your deployment. And then third, as we look at provision and end-to-end and really ready to use, it's there, it's waiting, all the features are turned on, and our customers just have to get themselves to start utilizing it. Whether it's Exchange, whether it's SharePoint, Delve, Link, all of these pieces, your tenant that you have on that little piece of paper, you could log into Office for iPad right now with those credentials and have Office on your iPad. And so when you think of what deployment really means, you know, across devices, deployment could just be a click of a button. Sometimes mail exchange servers and SharePoint farms need to be migrated, and that's a big part of it also. But Office should be easy. It should be across devices, simple login, and user-driven. So we have 2 components, really getting started with what I'm going to talk about, and then onboarding what and planning what Alistair's going to talk about. But getting started is what you have on your piece of paper. It's 250 seats, it's 90 days, and you won't want that tenant in the future because of the name that I talked about. But what's happened on that tenant is it's gone through what we call Fast Track Getting Started. We take a normal just trial. Anyone here ever done an Office 365 trial? You log in and it's pretty empty, right? Just one admin user and no content. You kind of have to build it from scratch. So we've done a little bit of work for you. So there's IT Pro content. There's resources, there's guides, there's labs, there's demo mates to walk through some of the core scenarios we want you to see and want you to do on the service. And there's end user content for getting started. Our kind of best case scenarios that utilize the service across all the different workloads in guides, videos, and step-by-step process. So all of this is sitting in those tenants. And any customer, you know, you're kind of lucky because we did some work for you, but any customer can do this. Any customer can go to deploy.office.com. Anyone can grab this content and put it directly into your tenant. So that's what getting started really comes down to, is helping move forward, helping customers understand what's possible, and then that comes into onboarding, and I'm going to let Alistair talk about this in a little bit, but onboarding is that specialized assistance from Microsoft, whether you have a partner and we're working directly with your partner, or whether it's directly with you. It's specialized onboarding service from Microsoft that's part of your purchase. So when you buy a SKU of Office 365, one of the e-SKUs, above 150 seats, it just comes with the service. So let's get into getting started. That's the website, deploy.office.com, and I'll jump through some of those pages in a little bit. But that's where we land all of our deployment messaging, all of our deployment resources, offers, get connected with partners. This is the spot. And as far as getting started, deploy.office.com/getting-started, what you'll see is this content. You'll see this sitting in your tenant. These are the scenarios that we've worked with our customers on. We've done a tremendous amount of research that no matter what industry, where people are, they typically have these scenarios they want to get through. You want to be able to store, sync, and share. You want email from anywhere. You want to have more effective meetings. And so you'll see that content throughout the actual tenant to try to help you get started. From an IT pro, We are on the IT Pro team, really, from a product marketing group, and we do summits, tech eds, deployments. We support onboarding center communications. So this is everything we could think of that helps an IT pro get started. Tasks, a project plan, step-by-step guides, and it's sitting in the tenant. And so I'm going to walk through a demo. Let me switch to 7. So in a demo, I'll start on the deployment site. So this is where anyone can go, learn about Fast Track, learn about some of the programs and the offers that we have today. You can start getting started. You can learn about what the onboarding center delivers. So there's a service description for the onboarding center. When you think of, has anyone ever read our service descriptions for products on TechNet? Well, this is a product service description telling you what a person will do to help you remotely. And that's available also. And then offers for deployment. We understand that our customers, it takes time, effort, energy, money sometimes to move mail. So we have offers specific to our Office 365 customers to try to help you migrate your mail, to try to help you utilize adoption activities, maybe even through a partner, and have that partner reimbursed. So all that information sits on the site. And it really starts with getting started, which I'll show you here on this page. You have a tenant already. You're the lucky ones in the room. But anyone can do this. You can go on. You can see that I have first sign up for a trial. If you're an enterprise customer, commercial, you would do this. And you simply sign up for a trial. It's kind of 4 quick, easy steps. If you're in an education and you're looking to do A2 or A3 and that sort of plan, you can do that directly from here. And once you get that trial, you just come right back and you say, Fast Track Getting Started content, and we'll load all of the content that I'm talking about here to get you started directly into that tenant. So it's a pretty quick and easy process. Anyone can do this. And then we highlight some of that content. So for IT Pro, we have an app that helps you manage some of the scenarios, some of the getting started. We have deployment planning, which we're going to get into a little bit with Alistair. And then we have labs. Anyone here have an Azure subscription, MSDN? Yeah, so you can give us, not give us, you can put in a form, your Azure subscription, and we will load labs into your Azure implementation, and you can walk directly through steps for deployment. You can do fake migrations. You can see what it looks like to do ADFS, all through an Azure infrastructure. And those labs are enabled directly from your Fast Track tenant. And then the content, which I'll get into, so I'm not going to belabor this one. But, you know, and then the next piece is the onboarding side, which I know Alistair will talk a little bit more of. But step-by-step guidance is also available in the form of a PDF. So all the things we kind of talk about as far as getting started, getting your tenant going, verifying your domain, it's all just line by line and what happens during an onboarding, engagement. So with all that said, if you come to the site, you do these steps, you get the content provision, you'll get an email, and it's the first time you log in, you'll be pushed to that Fast Track site collection. And you have that on your pieces of paper. It says sites/FastTrack, and that lives inside SharePoint Online. And so what that looks like, the first time you log in, it'll look like this. And this is in product, this is in SharePoint Online. And this is a custom-built site for you, IT pros, to be able to walk through scenarios. So you see scenarios, implementations, training links, all of these different pages, the management app that I talked about that you can get started with. You also have down the left-hand side video learning, training labs, onboarding documentation, migration and assistance. So we'll talk a little bit about an offer, but if you buy over 150 seats of Office 365, you also can have your mail moved. Microsoft will move your mail from Lotus, from Gmail, from IMAP, from Exchange 2003, 7, 10, 13. So every single mailbox that's purchased as part of the offer, Microsoft will move that mailbox. And so that's a great offer for our customers who are looking to really start moving quickly. And you actually have a migration site built into your tenant that you can work with the migration velocity engineers, share your batch files, and be able to work through all of the tasks and scenarios that we know a customer has to do to really move their mail to Office 365. So I wanted to kind of highlight that as an IT pro side directly here is it's in your tenant, it's waiting for you to take a look at. So again, on the management side, we want to enable these getting started scenarios for our end users. And so we have an app, and this is, again, being positioned directly into SharePoint Online. It's a catalog app that sits there. It allows you to choose which scenarios you want to give. Finance and accounting, HR, information technology, R&D. You see each one of these actually says explore because we'd had a demo yesterday and I clicked each one of them. But they'll just say add now. And it tells you exactly what will get added when you check out the links. So if you were wondering what gets added in internal communications, you'll see the exact workflow, a video, and a guide before you actually put it into your tenant. And again, all of this just flows into a single site collection called Fast Track that you can work through and start helping people get started. And I also have planning tools. That's where our deployment plans land, and Alistair will show that. Reporting, which is some basic information regarding your tenant, maybe some of the top users, maybe some of the big mailboxes that you've moved. And then readiness, and this is another piece that I want to just touch on because I talked about it from a lab's perspective. I only have one student in this portal, and that's what all of you will see also. But each one of these labs, these get provisioned in Azure. You simply log into Azure, and you're able to walk through the labs. And we have a step-by-step checker that will actually check every time you do something. So if it's create a user, give it permissions, step checker will check that you did that and give you the okay to move forward. So each one of these is a link that pushes you out to that Azure provisioning and allows you to get started with these labs. So you see there we have hybrid, cutover, deploying with Exchange 2010, ADFS, and then just simply some of the scenarios we might want you to do while you go through a pilot. So back to the scenario side, and I've created all these already. This is what an end user will see immediately. So if you log in as student from your piece of paper, you'll have to change your password before it kicks you in. But then you'll land here, and it's a getting started page for end users. We really think about this as, through IT, how do you help drive the usage from a user perspective? And we do that as what we call scenarios, like business scenarios. And I mentioned some of them. It's like work like a network. It's email and calendars on the go. It's what you see here with store sync and share your content. And so each one of these, and I can keep going just straight through them, each one of these from a materials perspective is kind of a vision video to show you what we want you to do with store sync and share, and a guide to help end users actually do store, sync, and share, which it's not very product-y. It's kind of, this is the scenario, and you're going to use OneDrive, you're going to use SharePoint, you're going to use Office through these scenarios. And then you have the do-it-yourself, which is click-by-click demo mates that allow you to click through and show your end users how they'll log in, how they can actually drag a file over to OneDrive and make it happen for them. So each one of those are just simply built out, kind of high-level video, guide to get started, and then actual walkthrough for each user. So we want to help people start utilizing the service in brand new ways and really see the value. And this is, again, during a trial, before you've made your purchase. If you're thinking about Office 365, it's great. But even if you have already, you're already an Office 365 customer, maybe you're only using Mail, maybe you're only using Link, and you want to start expanding some of those workloads out to your end users, it's great to use this for driving adoption. And so we have getting started, which from a drop-down perspective, make the switch, video learning. So the Office team, you know, we are never short on content. If you go to office.com, it's like from 2003 until now, you know, videos and documents and anything you search for kind of brings up, well, you search for Outlook. Do you want it for 3, for 7, for 10, for 13? So what we've tried to do is take all of the kind of best materials on office.com and then put them into a single place, which is within your tenant, so you don't have to leave Office 365 to go search around, but you have Make the Switch. And all of these are self-guided, self-paced PowerPoints that show you exactly how to make the switch from various products. 2013, let's see how you make the switch to Outlook. Let's see how you make the switch to Word. Each one of these is just built out for you in the tenant. The other piece that we wanted to do is also position videos. You know, that's one of the top questions we get from customers is, where do I find all of the great videos on Office? And so you're in SharePoint. This is just in SharePoint. We built a player, and it pulls from office.com all of the various like Word videos, all of the Outlook videos, etc. And you can simply go through and have your whole entire training plan. You know, play the video, make it full screen. We'll test the internet here. And you're now just having videos directly with your own library, helping you get started with Office 365. Anyone think that's pretty cool? Good for end users? Good. All right. I've seen some smiles, but I always have to check. So that's a great question. I expected that at Tech Ed Europe. We're working on 8 different languages as far as the content. So some of these videos, like from office.com, they are not translated or subtitled. But most of the content you see here, we're working on different packs to deliver in a local language. And we're focusing on the 8 core languages now. The end user. Yep. Gotcha. That's
good feedback. Yeah,
great feedback.
We are prioritizing what we localize first, so it's good feedback to get there. We'll do the videos and the user training stuff. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And we'll send you off to another site called success.office.com, and they also have a lot of the end user content that has been translated, and it just isn't kind of built into your system yet. But it's things that we are working on with that team. So I just wanted to show a couple of the scenarios that I provisioned. So you saw getting started for IT, you saw getting started for end users, which was the really just, hey, this is their first clicks. This is how you start utilizing Office 365. What I would call these, and this is an HR example, but I've put in R&D, sales and marketing, finance and accounting. These are kind of the model home scenarios. So we wanted to put just enough pieces so that if you have an HR department, you could see maybe a workflow or a calendar that share or how HR would use SharePoint in a way that's meaningful for the business. Same thing from R&D and production. If you're sharing your knowledge or you want to have teams that work together, we, again, give you the video, we give you the vision, we give you the guide, and you can always close this down, and it's a SharePoint site, and we actually gave you examples. So if you see the video and see the guide, you have examples built into your SharePoint site. You know, a couple of things here. I'm using Visio within SharePoint Online simply as a web part. A lot of our customers maybe had never even taken that step to try to take some of their process, take some of their business process and put it into SharePoint. You can imagine as far as a keeping customers happy from a sales and marketing perspective, we wanted to show the best of what Excel, the best of what Power BI has to offer. So on a site like this, you'd have some KPIs that are built by default, some documents that can be shared out, and then of course, you know, a pipeline that you would look at and be able to drill down into, and then Power BI, which has a very, you know, kind of rich data set, and you can see the example directly from here. So we wanted to build something that kind of shows you the path without putting too much kind of sample data in your own tenant. But we feel like, and a lot of the feedback from our customers has been that maybe they don't push this site into production, but they use this as a training mechanism to try to help people understand what's possible with Office 365. So all of that is in your tenant. So everything I just showed, it's on your little piece of paper. You're good to go. Log in, click through all of these pieces. You'll be able to then choose your scenarios from the IT app, see how that actually helps you get started. You know, this is still what we think is just that first experience. And you still have full admin capabilities. If you log in as the admin, this is the admin center in Office 365. I have my full capabilities of Exchange, Link, SharePoint. You can go as deep as you'd like on working through the admin center. So, you know, we want to expose this, obviously, to the right people, to the IT team, to the people who are leading a deployment. But we also wanted to have that separation that said, Office 365 is more than just this blue and white screen here in the admin center. It's SharePoint, it's Link, it's all these kind of connected stories that we want you to be able to experience. But as an admin, as the IT crew here, you can just go straight into the admin center, take a look at all the settings, flip around DLP, you know, any other sessions that you're listening to today or tomorrow and the next day of Office 365, you have a tenant now. when they're doing their demo and their session, and they're showing you kind of where to go and some of the new features, or maybe it's OneDrive, click through, walk along with them. It's all available for you. So that's getting started, and that's kind of that first experience when you trial and want to utilize the service. And then we're going to get into planning. Still as part of getting started, we want planning to be part of it, and then we'll move planning into onboarding as we go. So go ahead, Alistair, I think, from a...
Thanks.
I think it's PPI.
Yeah, just to kind of reiterate on the planning step, it's a really key, important thing to do. You know, a lot of the times, and we've seen customers deploying Office 365, its predecessor, BPOS. BPOS's predecessor was called MMS. So we've been at this for a while now, doing this for over 7 years. And what we found was that customers that skipped doing that trial, getting their end users involved in the trial, had a much harder problem deploying Office 365. They didn't have the user stakeholders, the champions inside of their organization. So when they went to push out that production deployment, not having those champions was a real challenge for those organizations. Likewise with the deployment plan, customers that didn't do planning generally fail. It doesn't mean that you have to stick to the plan, and most customers have changed their plan every week, every month, as they've gone through the deployment journey, but it's important to have that plan every time. And so when we think about a deployment plan, if you think about an on-premises deployment plan, generally you're talking about architecture, capacity planning, environment details, and those sorts of things. That's all done for you. We already have 100,000 servers ready and waiting for you. So there's no deployment, there's no capacity planning necessary from the infrastructure side. There is network planning, and there's a session later this week that Paul Andrew is giving to talk about network and capacity planning for bandwidth for Office 365. But the infrastructure's there. The infrastructure's ready. It's already built. So what's the point of the plan? The point of the plan, really, is to make sure that you document the business objectives, that you set the right expectations with your organization and all the people in your organization, all the stakeholders you have as well. It's about defining the timeline of how you'll deploy, how long you expect to spend in your trial phase or in your pilot phase. A lot of organizations without a plan have gotten to this kind of analysis paralysis mode where you've done the trial, you've got some users, you add a few more users, you add a few more users, but you can never just get over into that production deployment usage. Other organizations don't want to do that trial and will spend all of their time trying to make the perfect Office 365 environment with zero users. And so once they perfect the architecture and they have everything working and everything set up, and we all know that the best system you can have is one with zero users. No help desk calls, nothing goes wrong. But having those users on, even if it's not the full experience yet, if you have your champion starting to use it early and you document in your plan when they'll hand over to more production usage, you're going to start in a much better place. It's also, the plan is important for us too. At Microsoft, you know, we have skin in the game. It's our job to help you deploy. This is a subscription service. It's paid per month. If you're not using it, why would you pay for it? It just doesn't make any sense. And so we're incented to get you to use it as fast as possible. On-premises software, server software, we were quite happy to sell it to you and then good luck, we'll see you in a few years. But online software, it's a subscription software, right? So it's in our best interest to make sure that you're using it as fast as possible. And it also helps us understand our role and how you want us to help in your deployment. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Documenting your project team, the roles, responsibilities, the contacts, and documenting your current environment as well. Office 365 is ready to go. Who knows what your current environment looks like? And there's many surprises that happen in the deployment phase if you don't really have a good handle on your current environment, where your users are connecting from, what browsers are they using, what types of machines are they using, do they have Office already, are they trying to connect different versions of Outlook to Office 365. They're all important things that you need to document as well. So with that, I'm going to jump into the deployment plan. So just a show of hands again, the partners in the room. A couple of people. Okay. Well, this is the partner portal for Office 365. I'm going to take you through this environment. This is a change that you'll see in the Fast Track tenants later this week. We do a monthly update to that fast track tenant to make sure we have all the new content, new scenarios, as well as new deployment plans. And essentially, we roll it out to partners a few days beforehand. So this is a sneak preview of what this experience will look like. We use partners to do our testing.
And this will be in the planning tools of that management app that I showed you.
That's right. So to build a plan, you know, there are a lot of questions, and it's such an interesting thing with Office 365 doing deployments. You only do it once. You only do a deployment to Office 365 once, if you're good at it. but you never have to come back to it. And so it's one of those things where it's not that necessary to build up a real skill around deploying Office 365. It's a task you'll do once. You're better off investing your time in operating, improving, managing Office 365. Because a deployment plan is just a deployment is a finite set of time. For us at Microsoft, we do this every day. We do it to hundreds of thousands of customers. And so we have best practices around what things should be in the deployment plan. What variables do we need to document around your current environment? And so we've built this together in this questionnaire that you'll see in the Getting Started portal. And if you're using a partner or you're using one of our offers where a partner or Microsoft can assist you, this is the tool that they'll be using to help document those questions and make sure that they're following Microsoft's best practice. So the business plan is quite simple here. We're going through, we're going to ask a series of questions. The first one, what are your business strategies? Why are you deploying Office 365? We've loaded in a sample here around enabling mobile productivity. We have some IT ones around operationalizing change management. But of course, you can enter in your own custom scenario as well. We'll go through and click next. Document our project team here. We have one role that's required, a project owner. And then we can add other roles as we see fit as well in this environment. User segmentation is incredibly important as well. It may be that you want to give every user all of the capabilities. That's great. Or it may be that you have some users that you don't want to give all the capabilities to. Maybe only your executives require archiving and compliance holds on their mailboxes. Maybe you have branch staff or retail staff line workers or factory workers that really only need email. They don't need all those other capabilities as well. But documenting those workloads and that user segmentation is very important in your plan as well. Let's go next. Now, of course, timeline. This is incredibly important as well. And we pre-populate this with all of the timelines from our best practices. But you have your own milestones, no doubt. You, of course, have your own dates. You probably have your own, essentially, blackout dates, dates where you don't want to do changes or you don't want to do deployments or you're on holiday. Maybe you don't do changes in December because of the holidays. Maybe you don't do changes in July because of holidays. Maybe the end of the quarter is a key date for you that you don't want to do changes either. And so documenting all of those dates, as well as the phases and when you expect to complete them, is incredibly important here as well. And you can see here, the phases that we approach this as are really a kickoff or a project initiation. The assess phase. An assess phase is where we help document that environment. We understand what your current infrastructure is about. We run tools to check the health of your Active Directory environment, the size of your mailboxes, and those sorts of things as well. In the remediate phase, we look at fixing any issues that we know may cause a problem with your deployment. Maybe you don't have Outlook Anywhere turned on. And if you're planning to do a hybrid migration, you do need to turn on Outlook Anywhere in your environment. Maybe there's Active Directory cleanup work to have. Perhaps you're one of those organizations that rather than delete Active Directory users, you move them to a different OU or something like that. And so all of those sorts of things are important to understand. The enablement phase, that's kind of the core, turning the lights on, setting up your identity management solution, integrating with your mailbox and mail flow systems, changing DNS, and those sorts of things as well. And then migrate. And migrate, when we'll migrate the core mailboxes in. So documenting all of this is incredibly important. Risks. Anyone a project manager in the room? Yeah. So we happily document two project risks for you. Change in scope, turns out that's a pretty popular one, and a schedule slip. And risks, you know, when we think about risks from a project management situation, risks is something that could happen. An issue is something that's happening. A risk is something that could happen. And so risks we document based on probability. Is it high, medium, low? And impact. What's the damage when it occurs? And of course, when you're thinking about a risks ledger, you should also start to think about mitigation. What is and a mitigation strategy is all about reducing the chance that that risk would happen, reducing the probability. And then, of course, the contingency plan, when that risk occurs, it becomes an issue, what do we do to minimize the impact of that particular risk? So we like to document all of these things as well. In the deployment plan, we don't document the issues. The issues we'll document as we get into that assessment phase and start to understand the environment and the particular technical issues. But it's important to get the risks documented as well. You know, many of these aren't just technical risks. Oftentimes, there could be political risks. You know, inside of the organization, you have changes or changes in budget, changes in direction. Maybe you have a new technical team, or you have, you know, key stakeholders leave the organization. Only you know what your risks are inside of your own organization, but it's important to have them documented in the plan. And so that's it for that first section of the deployment plan. Based on what we entered into that deployment plan, we're actually going to populate extra sections that you can fill out now or later or as you come to it as well. And maybe different people inside of your organization will fill out different steps. But essentially, once I've documented these steps, as long as I've done more than one section, filled out more than one section, I can create a snapshot of that progress.
We'll add in a title, Tech Ed Plan. This is a plan. We'll save a snapshot.
And what this snapshot is doing is it's taking all of those questions and it's putting them into a useful form of plan. You don't want to take to your boss, your manager, or your board of directors a questionnaire. You want to take to them a nice-looking Word document. And so with one click now, we'll generate a Word document.
Word is flashing. There it goes.
And so we generate this deployment plan for you. So it's pre-populated. It's customized for your organization. It has all of the things, all the key milestones that we documented, the scenarios that we wanted to focus on, the scope of the deployment, the project team, the roles of those project teams, estimated timeline, risks, the current state of the environment, current deployment status, and deployment assistance as well. And so this is just our way of making it easier for you to build that plan. Of course, it's in Word, so you can change it. Maybe your organization doesn't have a logo with four squares on it. You can change that. It's just Word. It's just a Word document. It's not a PDF or anything like that. And so you can change this and customize it to make it better for your organization. But we really wanted to get the focus for IT professionals away from just editing the documents all day. I mean, we should be focusing on the technology more than just typing up documents all day. And so we wanted to make it easier for you to build this deployment plan and have a very consistent deployment plan for all of our customers as well. Any questions on the deployment plan? Okay, great. You don't have to do the deployment plan alone. You can do it. It's all available. It'll be in your tenants. This new version will be in your tenants later in the week. But we also have deployment planning services offerings as well. These are 3-day and 10-day engagements where Microsoft will fund a partner or one of our Microsoft consultants to come out to your site and help you build the deployment plan. You know, the actual act of doing that deployment plan is quite simple. It takes maybe half an hour to fill out those things. The harder part is knowing all of the settings and finding out the environment and doing the discussions. And so in these 3-day and 10-day engagements, you can think of this as a funded workshop to look into some of those details, start to identify some of those risks and even issues, run some of our planning tools, run some of our network assessment tools, so that you can get a good idea of your environment before you start as well. You can find more information about this at deploy.office.com as well. So, now we come to onboarding. Onboarding is a word that we made up. Let's be honest. If you type it into Word, it has a red squiggly line under it. But really, we use this word to make the difference between the core kind of setup of Office 365 versus migration. Together, you know, getting started, trialing, planning, onboarding, and migration all make up that deployment. But for onboarding, we're talking about a very specific phase where we're getting the setup right for your organization as well. And we'll help you with this. You know, we have our engineering team, you know, much like our engineering team manages service health if there's an issue with Office 365. It's our engineering team that has to fix the service. That's how we make it better. That's how we make the code better, by forcing the people that wrote that particular piece of code or that particular component to be responsible for that component in production. It's a very DevOps model that we use at Microsoft. And likewise with onboarding as well. We want our engineers to help you onboard to Office 365. We know the service better than anyone else. We built the service, and it's our job to help you get onto Office 365 as well. And so this is not a support engagement. This is not a time-bound engagement. It's not something that there's 10 hours of consulting time or anything like this. We attach one of our engineers and one of our onboarding managers to every customer above 150 users. And they stay on, I think our terms and conditions are actually 12 months, just to limit the amount of time that we'll spend with any single customer. But we'll stay engaged until you've got onboarded to Office 365. You have that core, you can think of it like dial tone for Office 365, getting the core environment set up, getting your users enabled and able to log into Office 365. I've got some terms and conditions up here, what they will do, what they won't do. In terms of Active Directory, this is probably some of the bigger questions that we have. In terms of Active Directory, yes, our engineering team will help you set up your Active Directory environment. Whether you're using DirSync or Azure AD Sync or ADFS, we'll help set up your environment as well. I should point out that this is remote support as well. We're not going to come out to your environment to help set this up. Most of our engineers aren't located in the same city that you are. We're spread out around the world. So it is remote support. It is in your time zone. So we don't try and call you at 4 a.m. or anything like that. And we'll support 8 languages as well. And I'm going to test myself by naming them right now. English, French, German, Spanish, Chinese.
Portuguese.
Have I missed one? Japanese. Here we are looking at adding extra languages as well over time. But again, it needs to be languages our engineers speak as well.
I think that as we hit this slide, I just wanted to interject a little bit. I think it's important that we understand the scope of what onboarding is. And, you know, we've been on this kind of path with Fast Track. And if you've been to past Tech Eds or any of our summits, we've been talking about it for almost 2 years now. And it started with really defining the steps that got a customer onboarded and trying to come up with an actual step-by-step guide that we could hand every single customer and say, if you do these 44 things, we know you'll have the same experience no matter how many times and how many customers had to do that. We know that you're going to run into some AD issues, so it helped us invest into ID fix. We know that you wanted to have a different password kind of synchronization, it helped us build AD sync. So the intention from also the onboarding side as an engineering org is we want to automate things. We want this to be an automated process. We want to have a great experience from start to finish, and we want to automate out the complexity. And so that's a big part of this is when you see this is just kind of a list of things that we'll do from an onboarding, but really from the motion of what we're trying to deliver, we want these things to just happen in the service for our customers. And right now, we're doing it with engineers, and we're doing it with process and our own scripts and what we're doing to onboard. But we want to continue to build that setup button within the product that starts to really help all our customers move forward in a very predictable way. So I just wanted to kind of plate that up as you see a list of, you know, this is the scope of what we do. It really is about driving out complexity and driving automation into what the service delivers.
That's right, yeah. You know, one of the interesting things about this is that, you know, we know exactly what goes on in Office 365. You know, we have telemetry, reporting, log files. You know, we generate something in the order of 40 petabytes of logs every month, just in Office 365, that we have to analyze, security audits, bug fixes, working out what hardware is up and down, how much people use different things, load balancing, capacity planning, and all those sorts of things. So we know exactly what goes on in Office 365. We know nothing about your environment. And so it's an interesting challenge. Like, we know what Office 365 is. We know how to get you there. But your environments are all different, subtly different environments for every customer. And so that's why it's good to have a person that can help and that can understand these issues and help you diagnose those sorts of things. So on this list, an example of things that, and the specific workloads the Onboarding Center will help you with, provide you guidance on setting up your DNS system appropriately, configuring mail flow in your environment, setting up your site collections, ensuring that users are provisioned, managing permissions, provisioning link online, making sure it's ready for instant messaging and online meetings, setting up Yammer. Yammer has a separate directory sync client, so there's a separate approach to enabling single sign-on in Yammer, so we'll help you with that as well. And even down to Office 365 Pro Plus. We're not going to just deploy the client to your computers, but we'll help you get started with setting up, click to run, helping you package that, and getting it ready to distribute on your own System Center systems as well. Your responsibilities. So just because we're doing all this, you know, doesn't mean we're going to take, you know, direct support calls from your users. This is an IT pro to IT pro relationship. So we expect to call you guys in this room. We expect to call your IT professionals or your partner that you're using or whoever's managing that infrastructure. Because a lot of these things, you need to make the changes yourself. You know, I like to think of it sometimes kind of like Cortana. Like, it's a online remote system to help you guys, guide you through the journey, making the right decisions here as well. And so there are a lot of these things that you will do, and we'll talk you through how to do them. You know, if you like, we can remote into your systems and help diagnose specific things. If you don't want us to remote into your systems, then we can still guide you through these things over the phone. And I'm not going to read out all of those slides, but the slide deck will be available after the session. And then there are some optional things that you may want to do as well. And so depending on how you plan that deployment, you may want to set up a hybrid environment with Exchange 2010 or 2013. We'll help you do that. You may want to look at Active Directory directory services. You may want to look at integration with things like card space, multi-factor authentication, and those sorts of things. And these are things that are still your responsibility. We can give some guidance on those sorts of things. If you're running something like Okta or a third-party identity platform, Tivoli systems or something like that, there's really not much guidance we can give. You know, our engineers aren't experts on those technologies. We're experts on the Microsoft technologies. And more lists. So really, you know, when we're talking about fast track for Office 365, those are the things that we're talking about. This getting started environment, really important to do getting started right. Get your users on board. Get some of your users used to Office 365 in advance of doing anything, any changes to your own environment. It's also important to build that plan in this phase as well. There's a bunch of tools and resources that we've shown you to really help you do that. And then onboarding. And onboarding is where we'll assist you with our engineering team to make sure you get an appropriate current state assessment, reviewing your Active Directory, reviewing your DNS settings, doing user provisioning, directory and password synchronization, Active Directory federation, mail flow and routing, so that you get up in a situation where you can use anything in Office 365, but you'll have no mail. All your mail will still be in your Exchange server on premises or your Notes server or something like that. You won't have SharePoint sites in Office 365. You'll have empty SharePoint sites and those sorts of things. So how do we help with that? Well, we help with that with an adoption offer. And this adoption offer is a little bit different to Fast Track. You know, Fast Track is built into the product. It's part of our engineering team. It's a collection of automated tools as well as people, as well as processes to help drive that onboarding thing. Adoption, and we use this term adoption really to mean usage, to help you get more usage of the service, help all of your users get the most out of Office 365. And this adoption offer comes in two flavors. So the first flavor is money. So we'll actually fund your partner or the person that you're using with funding to get a consultant in to help you with particular activities. Maybe that's planning SharePoint migration. Maybe that's working on some optional integration with Tivoli or Okta or something like that. And all those other things that you can do around Office 365. So this, again, is available for 150 users and above. It's available from our cloud-certified partners, the ones that know Office 365, so there is a quality bar associated with that. And it can be used for any Office 365 workload. Maybe you want to do project online or something like that. They can help you get this set up as well. Couple of the details. Let's skip this and talk about the next offer as well. So you can choose the money. You can take the money and your partner can assist you getting up and running with Office 365. Or you can use Microsoft and we can migrate all of your email for you as well. We kind of divided these two things in half. Adoption, you know, in consulting is this, it can be anything, right? It's an open-ended book. So depending on what you want to do for your environment, funding helps to do those sorts of things. Mail migration is fairly straightforward, and it's straightforward to such a fact that we think we can automate almost all of the mail migration activities. We're investing very heavily in this space to make sure that migration is simpler and simpler and simpler over time. We haven't automated it fully to the extent now that there's just a big easy button inside of Office 365 to press. That's where we'd love to get to. Right now, we have a bunch of automated tools, but we still have our engineers sort of operating the controls and cranking the handle and those sorts of things to make it happen. And so in this mail migration offer, our engineers are actually just flushing the pipes and testing out our migration technologies, making improvements to our migration technologies, and hiding all that complexity from you around what it takes to migrate mail. And so we'll do, you know, all of the mailboxes you purchase. There's no price involved or anything like that. There are, you know, terms and conditions to sign, and legal agreements to sign, and those sorts of things. Because we are touching your data now when we're doing this, you want to make sure that it's all above board. And we'll migrate Exchange, anything Exchange 2003 and up. We'll migrate from Domino, Lotus Notes. We'll migrate from IMAP, whether that's Gmail or something else. Or we'll migrate a mixture of one or two of those environments as well. And so this is hopefully a real benefit to those that are still planning on doing their mail migration. This is a, yeah, question up the back. Question is, do we also migrate public folders? And that's a great question. It depends on the environment and depends on how you've set up public folders. Modern public folders in Exchange 2010 and 2013 are really just a mailbox. Older public folders is much harder to do. So those things we don't do.
So there are terms and conditions, and there is all the details on deploy.office.com, and it goes into each scenario and what it will and won't migrate.
Another common question we get is, do you migrate archives? And we don't migrate archives either in this particular case, unless that's an Exchange archive. An Exchange archive, again, just lives in the mailbox. We can migrate them. So we're really looking at the primary mailboxes here. You know, there's some terms and conditions, and depending on the different platform you choose, there are different considerations to make as well. So obviously, if you're already on Exchange 2010 or 2013, the easiest way to migrate you is with a hybrid setup. And so that's a hybrid migration using MRS inside of Office 365. It gives you a lot more flexibility with how you think about scheduling and batching those users and how the users will experience that migration. If you're coming from something like IMAP, IMAP, you're not going to get those luxuries. If you're coming from Lotus Notes, maybe you also need to deploy Outlook, and you'll have done that in the previous onboarding step as well. And you're going to need to synchronize back and fill up that OST with mail on the client as well. And if you're coming from Lotus Notes, we can generally only take 90 days of data from Lotus Notes in those situations as well. So it is a very fixed scope mail migration option. We are automating a lot of this. Depending on your environment, you may still have archives left over. You may have third-party systems to do those sorts of things as well. So there's still work required on your behalf to fix some of these things. But we hope that this gets you a lot of the way there in your migration. Any other questions on mail migration? Quiet crowd. So when we think about Office 365, that's the key phases. Getting started, making sure you do try Office 365. Try it before you buy. If you've already bought, you haven't deployed yet, make sure you try it, you socialize it with your users, and make sure you do a plan. That's incredibly important. And when the onboarding center contacts you, the first thing that they're going to ask for is that plan. Do you have a deployment plan? What are the timelines and those sorts of things? So you can preempt a lot of that by doing the plan. We think about deployment. Inside deployment is infrastructure preparation, service provisioning, and of course data migration. And then you get to the lovely step of adoption. And adoption, driving usage, driving enhancements for the service. And there's a session later on this week. We'll talk a lot more about all the things that you can do to drive adoption as well. So to get up and running, a couple of things here. First, deployed.office.com/getting-started. You can provision that getting started environment into your own tenant. The only requirement is SharePoint Online, so it's very simple and easy to do. Complete your deployment plan. Make sure you have that deployment plan in place. 30 days after purchase, 30 days after purchasing more than 150 seats, or purchasing 140 seats and then 2 weeks later buying an extra 10 seats, an onboarding center will be assigned to you. An onboarding expert will reach out to you and contact you within 30 days. Generally, so far, it's actually been about 12 days. But if you do want to get in contact with us earlier, you can go to deployed.office.com. We have a link there where you can email us and request to get started immediately. What we find is that most customers may purchase, but they're not ready to get started straight away. So we like to give it a little bit of time to give you time to prepare the deployment plans and those sorts of things as well. Think about the offer. Do you want mail migration or do you want adoption services from a partner or something like that? Choose either or. And then think about getting certified for your environment. Just because you don't need to know a lot about deployment for Office 365, it's a task you do once, you still need to know how to operate Office 365, how to manage Office 365, and how to get used to Office 365 as well. We have a lot of certification. An MCSA, a Microsoft Certified Solutions Associate for Office 365, which is our premier certification for IT professionals using Office 365. There's a bunch of other content that we have this week as well. You have seen the Office 365 Managing Change session. I believe that's next. That's a great session to check out. Once you're on Office 365, then you also need to think about change management and how Office 365 will constantly evolve, constantly update, without you needing to do anything, except, of course, manage the change, manage your users, communicate the change to your users, manage downtime, service interrupted events, and all those other things that IT has to do. And so that session's a great one to learn more about that. We have a session talking about the IT experience for administrators. If you're already using Office 365, you'll probably have seen a bunch of changes that have happened in that admin experience. We'll go deeper in that one. OFC 5335, I'd really encourage all of you to attend this session. The most common questions we get about Office 365 is around the impacts to your networks, your bandwidth, and performance over those bandwidths as well. We have a whole session on that, a bunch of planning tools and resources to share there as well. So I'd encourage you to attend that session with our colleague, Paul Andrew. And then, of course, adoption session. In this adoption session on Thursday, we'll talk about how you can manage user training and change management to your users as well. You know, the getting started experience is just the start of training your users. There's a whole bunch of other things to do as well. Show of hands, who's on our Office 365 Yammer network? Anyone using it? Yep, great to see. I really encourage you to sign up to yammer.com/office365 technical network or aka.ms/technical network there. This is our Yammer group. It's not a support forum. You know, we don't have our support teams constantly monitoring it. What we do have, though, is a lot of our product teams all using Yammer to communicate with customers. So if you have questions around things that are coming up, we often do deep dive sessions, sort of ask me anything sessions through the technical network as well when a new feature comes out as well. So I'd really encourage you guys to sign up and check out some of the conversations going on the technical network as well. And with that, I think we have a few minutes left for questions. So thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you all very much. And don't forget to do your evaluations. They wanted us to make sure and let you know to do your evaluations. It really helps us, and we appreciate that. So thank you all very much. And if you don't have a little piece of paper with a tenant, you can come up front, and I have a bunch of those. Yeah. But we are here to answer questions also. So
the first six questions also get a free pass to our Office 365 party.
There you go. So step up to the microphone. There's one right here. Anyone have questions who also wants to go to a party? They can be easy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all very much. Yeah, thank you.